Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge. MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Brawl Base, Pro-Am Belts, Game Changer Clothing, Draco Impact Armor, Hype Fight Store, Intimidation Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, 24 in LV, Crossroader Clothing, Central Oregon Trike, Triumph Fitness, Vision Smoke Shop, Tank Crimes, Big T's Nightclub, and Jax Media.
Selection. Check out this selection right here.
Where you from?
Brooklyn. Critically acclaimed, lyrically acclaimed, self-proclaimed. Nobody calls you nothing except for your mama. Because she hurt your monkey ass.
All right, everyone. It's Monday night. MMA Madhouse Live, number 160, folks. 3.5 years of this. And tonight, we have brought a friend to the show. Somebody, it's been a while since we've had him on, but it's time to catch him up with all you guys, up with what not only he's doing, what his team is doing. He's got a great, great group of fighters that are making waves that you guys should know about. So without any further ado, Team Vision MMA, Chuck Wells, how you doing tonight, brother?
Hey, what's going on? What's up? Doing good.
Well, you know, long weekend on the road covering some MMA events out of state, but I actually am back. My mind's ready. I'm super excited. I know that you've lined us up three just top-notch fighters that folks should really be paying attention to, especially when it comes to the future of this sport. And we're going to get to Dom and Chris and Muhammad here in a little bit. We're going to actually talk to each one of these gentlemen, but first off, let's talk to you, and because it's been a while since you've been on the show, why don't you tell everybody who you are, your gym, where you're located, all that good stuff.
Right. You know, before I was with Team Genocide, that was my own team, and I was doing everything on my own, managing, training, everything on my own, and then Vision MMA came calling, and they asked me to join their team and kind of merge teams. So I'm with them now. We're in Oakley, suburb of Cincinnati, and trying to take this MMA world by storm.
Well, to the fans out there, why don't you delve a little bit, because I know more than most of the fans and some of them who haven't got to hear you. Maybe it's been about, a year and a half since you've been on the show, actually.
Last year.
Yeah, right before the big Ohio card. Tell them a little bit about your background and what got you into this sport.
Well, back in like 2005, I started to train and fight myself. I started to become a little injured prone, was training for a bunch of fights and just kept getting injured. And then I was actually at a racetrack, a dirt track where they do sprint car racing. My brother-in-law does sprint car racing, and I actually was hit in the eye with a big clot of mud and suffered blunt force trauma-induced glaucoma. I had a partially detached retina, so that kind of ended my fight career for good. So I told myself that I didn't want to leave the sport. I love it too much. So I started training, you know, guys here and there wherever we could train, whether it be my basement or whether we go to another gym and rent out some gym space. But I had like two or three, you know, decent fighters, and then we started to get more and more guys that, you know, really couldn't afford like the big gym prices and stuff like that. So, you know, started training. So we start working really hard and actually got a few, you know, AMI champs, and I had a few guys go pro, and then, you know, the numbers started to grow a little bit, and that's where we're at for now. And then I merged with Vision and started working with these guys because, you know, we were cross-training with them when I had, you know, my own team. We were cross-training with them a lot, and they're really good guys now. I love them. I love them like they're, you know, brothers or my kids, should I say, because a lot of them are young enough to be my, you know, one of my kids. But, yeah, I love it over there, and great group of guys, man. So I couldn't ask for anything more right now.
But, you know, it's funny, you know, we see it a lot, you know. Kids today, some of them just can't afford the big-name gyms, you know, that are paying, honestly, good money to have a coach from Brazil or, you know, a boxing coach from a specific lineage in there. And they have to charge more, you know. But we're seeing just the same amount of talent coming out of gyms that don't have, you know, a Fabiano Scherner as their Brazilian jiu-jitsu coach. You know, they have maybe somebody else who's a black belt, you know, under a lineage that's, you know, got legitimacy behind it. You know, it's more, I believe, it's more about the team you have around you as much than it is the building you train in.
Right, right. When we're definitely fortunate enough to have a great jiu-jitsu coach in Aaron Thomas, who is a Carlson Gracie black belt.
Yep.
And we couldn't ask for anybody better than him, especially for, like you said, a lot of these gyms out here are charging, you know, $100-$120 a month, and these kids can't afford that stuff, especially when, you know, they're fighters living paycheck to paycheck. They just really can't afford the big gym prices. I mean, you have like JG around here and, you know, a couple of the other bigger gyms, and, you know, really can't afford those prices. So, yeah, we're definitely fortunate enough to have good coaches over there and good group of guys to work with.
Now, obviously, you guys are growing. You guys are making waves out there. Your fighters are not only fighting regionally, but are being looked at on some of the bigger promotions that are running around the U.S. How important is it to you to keep the legitimacy of your gym in the amateur ranks? I understand the pro ranks, but the amateur ranks. You know, we're going to talk a lot tonight with pros and about what their futures entail and what you've done with them. But how important is it for you to still keep your gym and your team's name in the amateur division?
Well, it's very important. You know, that's where it all begins, and that's where you learn to train to become a professional is – to come out, and a lot of these gyms, they have these amateurs, they want to pad these kids' records as amateurs, and it's like, I'd much rather have a guy that's, you know, 8-8 or 8-6 as an amateur that's fought all the top-ranked, you know, opponents out there than a guy that's, you know, 10-0, 11-0, that's fought maybe a handful of good, okay guys, not the best, but okay guys out there. So, amateurs are, you know, amateur career, it's very important that you definitely fight the best out there. And it's a good thing to have those guys have that competition.
Now, we're going to talk to Muhammad the Hurricane Abdullah in a minute. I've got him in queue. I want to talk to you about him for a second. He, to me, had about what I would consider a perfect amateur career. He experienced the losses and developed from each loss. And you could tell anybody who's watched his fights or seen his record, from each loss, you could see his development. You could see his tweak in his game. With you as a coach, somebody like Muhammad, you know, he's got all this talent. Even as an amateur, people are like, wow, you know, he goes on this nasty win streak to finish his career and, you know, with multiple title fights. How important and at what point do you say, okay, you're ready? Is it on, do you the coach, or do you listen to the fighter? I mean, how do you determine that he was ready? Because I'll be honest, you go from 2009 to today, I believe he was like 7-1 in his amateur, or 7-2, something right around there. And don't start yelling at me if I missed that up, but it's something close to that. A lot of would have said after that third, fourth fight streak win with a couple, I believe he had two titles in his first four wins in 2010, Most would have said go pro then. You're ready. But you kept him in the amateur ranks, and he defended it, you know, and fought a few more times and grabbed another belt. You know, and then he turned pro. So how do you determine for your athletes when it's time?
Well, actually, all Muhammad's credit definitely has to go to his coach, Joe Miller. He actually belongs to Vision Dayton, which is probably about 40 minutes north of us. But the funny story is, when I was with Genocide, I had a pro fighter by the name of Robert Todd who was supposed to fight him actually twice. So we did a lot of homework on Muhammad before I even became part of Vision. But you'll have to ask Mr. Miller on that. But I'm sure that him and Joe sat down, you know, did a little bit of thinking about, you know, his career and where they feel that he is as far as talent-wise and who he's fought. And I'm sure they went from there. But, yeah, Muhammad's a great, great fighter, and he's done, you know, a lot of developing throughout the years.
Well, let's not mess around. Folks, we have live with us right now undefeated pro fighter Muhammad the Hurricane Abdullah. How are you doing tonight, brother?
I'm hungry. I'm alive.
You're hungry. You've got a fight coming up Saturday?
Yeah. Saturday the 19th.
So obviously you're at the tail end of your camp. You're trying to, you know, start that, you know, process with a little softer work, maybe a little bit more cardio and dieting issues. Up to this point, how have you felt about your camp this time?
It was a good one, man. We take every camp real serious. Just a lot of hard work, man, working on our weaknesses and, you know, trying to stay focused on the strong points and being able to dictate wherever the fight goes. But, you know, we work hard as anybody out there. So, you know, we're strong as usual.
Okay, for all the fans out there, Muhammad, I'm sorry, I should have started with this. Why don't you tell them who you are, what your record is, and where you're fighting out of?
I fight out of Vision MMA Dayton, which is like the little brother to Vision MMA Cincinnati. My record as an amateur was actually 16-5. My record as a pro is 2-0. I got 4 amateur titles. I'm just a normal dude working hard, man. I was never good at nothing else, so I ain't know how to play basketball. So.
Now, we were talking right before we brought you on a little bit about your amateur career. I think you had what I would call a perfect career for an amateur. You had the tough fights. You took on the big names. You fought the title fight. You took your losses and grew. Out of all your amateur losses, which one do you think you learned the most from?
Take the lid off.
I would have to say I fought a guy named Chris Lush. His team was the Hate Squad with Dom O'Grady and them guys out of Michigan. I think that was the fight I learned the most from because I was winning that fight and, you know, before I joined Vision MMA, I didn't really have any knowledge about what to do to get back up off the ground or how to defend any submissions or anything of that nature. And I was winning the fight, and he ended up taking me down and ended up losing. And after the fight, he, you know, gave me a little smart remark, like, I knew you couldn't do anything on the ground. So from that point on, it was just like I just dedicated myself to getting better, you know what I'm saying? We ended up rematching, and he ended up getting TKO'd for the first time.
Now, how rewarding did that feel to come back and finish him off in a fight after the smack talk?
Well, it felt good because his coaches were saying that we weren't a real gym. You know, a lot of people overlook, you know what I'm saying, the gyms who don't have these big names and, you know, because they might have fought in King of the Cage or Bellator or UFC or got guys that train with them that have fought in those places, They overlook the little gyms, you know what I'm saying, or the gyms that don't have such a big name. But those are really the gyms that you got to look out for, because those are the guys who are still fighting for a spot and who are still training and grinding, hungry. You know what I'm saying? They really striving to get to that point. So they ain't really taking no days off, and they're not really missing no hours in that gym because they still want it. You know what I'm saying? The guys that usually have already had it, they tend to lose that hunger. So, you know, there was a lot of talk about how, you know, Vision MMA is not a real gym and blah, 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 and all of this stuff. So, you know, it was very pleasing, you know, watching him bleed out on the canvas after he was saying how he was going to knock me out and all of this stuff. So.
I love it. I love it. It's so true. You guys all know, you guys have all watched Tough. Michael Chiesa, who won Tough a couple of seasons ago with Sam Cecilia, yeah, and a couple of those guys, they came out of 6-2, I think, was in Spokane, a really solid gym, and they've now produced 5 fighters that have made it to the UFC. So, you know, I said it earlier, it's about the crew you train with more than about the name.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. I'd rather train with 10 starving fighters than 10, you know, half rich fighters. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I gotta ask you. You know, you've obviously, you know, Chuck and Team Vision, both locations. You guys are developing a good reputation for producing killers. You must have done something right, because you're fighting a few, not only fought, but you're gonna fight it for another organization, Roxagon, and now Absolute Action. I gotta tell you what, two amazingly great promotions who we've been following here for some time, quite a few years. Fighting for Roxagon, how did you like that? Obviously, coming out with a win is a good thing, but fighting for that crowd and that company.
Yeah, I mean, they take care of you. They're a good promotion, man. A lot of positive things to say about them. I can't really get to them all, but I never had any problems out of them, man. They're very professional about the way they go about things. They don't give you any hassle. They give you what you need. You know what I'm saying? They focus on what the fighter needs more so than, you know, just trying to get guys who can sell tickets or trying to make some money. So, you know, I don't really have nothing bad to say about them, but it was definitely a good experience. I wish I could have got the finish in that promotion, but, you know, it is what it is.
Well, you did get the victory. You come back. You beat Tim Cavett, you know, via vicious TKO from Strike. The ref had to jump in and save him from that. Now you're facing Billy Poe, and folks out there who might not know him, he's a decent fighter, you know. He's had an okay record. Nothing to really scream about, but he's been there. He's been to the distance. Have you and your coaches had a chance to sit down and really develop a game plan that you feel comfortable with?
I mean, my coaches have. I don't really study tape on dudes. I don't really know who the dude is personally. I haven't really looked at him. My coaches study the guy, and, you know, they bring it into the gym and they let me know what we need to do. From what I understand, he's planning on knocking me out or whatever. So I look at it as, you know, it's a fight, man. Anything is possible. I always just say somebody's going to get fucked up. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, that's what's gotta happen.
Well, so, I'll tell you what. Looking him over, he doesn't have very many KO finishes in his career, so I don't know why he'd be screaming he's going to knock someone out. He's more of a decision finisher or a submission to Strike, which is a TKO anyway. But, you know, I think you go in there and you implement your game plan. Your cardio's tight where it should be. I don't think you're going to have a fight that goes to the decision. I think you're an aggressive fighter. He starts slowly. From what I've seen, that's a disadvantage. If you can't get in there and be aggressive right off the bat and get in your fighter's head, that's a problem. Because if you let someone like you settle in, feel your distance, feel your shot, it's going to be a real bad night for him. How do you feel you are as a fighter? Do you feel that you're as aggressive as we see you?
That's actually something we've been working on. as far as my aggression. I usually like to take my time and take what they give to me, you know what I'm saying? But these last couple fights, especially for the Tim McCavish fight, because he was an aggressive guy, we wanted to push him and take the center and put his back on the cage. So that's something that we've been working on. I say I'm aggressive when the time is needed. You know what I'm saying? When I see an opening, I'm gonna go get it. So, I mean, if dude is, I don't really. Chuck actually, you know, he pressured me into this fight. You know what I'm saying? He was like, you know, he wanted me to take it. You know what I'm saying? I really didn't want to take the fight against a dude who was 0-0, but. You know, I'm not one to complain. I take whatever God gives to me. Chuck is a good dude, so I figured I'd do it. And I don't really, from what I understand, he's a stand-up guy. He likes to throw kicks. He likes to throw punches. You know what I'm saying? We gonna get in there and dance, man, and, you know, may the best dude come out on top. But I don't guarantee victories or knockouts or missions or anything like that, man. I guarantee that somebody gonna get fucked up. That's all I can guarantee. And I'm gonna do my best. You know what I'm saying?
We're missing my normal co-host Lapaki tonight, and one of his favorite questions to ask fighters is, "Would you prefer?" And it doesn't matter this fight. I'm just asking in general. Would you prefer to win a fight by KO or submission to strikes?
KO.
Okay. I'll
say KO.
Some people like the KO. Some people like to know that they broke a guy's will, made him tap strikes. So it's interesting to see each fighter, you know, how they feel about it. And now with you saying KO, would you prefer a punch KO or a head kick KO?
I've had both, man. They both can be pretty satisfying. I don't know. The head kick is always good because, I mean, I'll say punch. It's harder to knock somebody out with a punch than it is with a kick. Because, you know, the leg is like the heaviest part of the body, man. You kick somebody in the head 9 times out of 10, they're going down. It's clean. It's hard to one punch knock somebody out.
Very true. Now, obviously, we heard your daughter, I believe, in the background. You know, how difficult has it been being a family man and finding time to train?
Man, I don't. This is the first time I've seen my daughter's last 2 months. You know what I'm saying? I don't. That's one of the things that I've sacrificed. Taking this path, I don't really have time for family. You know what I'm saying? I just moved to Ohio so I could train full time. My daughter actually lives in Detroit with her mother. It's hard, man. You know what I'm saying? It honestly, it's nice. I've sat up in my bed, just, you know, shedding tears because I miss my kids so much. But it's like, you know, these are the sacrifices we sign up for. You know what I'm saying? So. You know, you just gotta stay strong with it, man, and continue to grind because at the end of the day, we're doing it for them. So it's hard, but you know, I'm a tough dude.
Do you feel that mental aspect that you have had to struggle with has helped you develop as a fighter mentally as well?
Definitely. I don't think. Just my upbringing, period, man. My mother was, she raised 8 kids by herself, you know what I'm saying, in a 2-bedroom house. So it's like, just my upbringing alone, watching her and watching how strong she was, and, you know what I'm saying, watching how strong my sisters were, and, you know, watching her never give up attitude and things of that nature. I don't think it's anything I can't do. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it's a situation anybody can put me in that I can't get out of. And I take that same attitude into the cage with me. When I go into that cage, I don't go in there like, man, if this dude puts me in this, I go in there like, whatever he can try to do to me, I can get out of. You know what I'm saying? Whatever he's coming with, I can get past it. And once I get past it, I'm going to give them some of this. You know what I'm saying? So it definitely plays a big part, because a lot of guys, you know, when they go into a fight, a lot of guys can mentally defeat themselves before they even get in there. They be like, oh, shit, I'm fighting this dude. And they end up fighting the name and not fighting that person. So me, I don't have that attitude, man. Whenever I go in, I done been in big gyms training with big name guys, and you know, I watch guys get in there and they be all timid and scared. Me, it's just like, dude, you bleed just like I bleed, then you know what I'm saying, you train just like I train, so
it definitely
helps a lot.
Mom, and I gotta tell you what, it's truly been a pleasure so far just to kick back and talk with you. We talk to so many fighters, and we do see both sides of the fence. We see both sides of the mentality. You're addressing this not only personally but professionally, like I feel, and probably Lopaki would agree with me if he was here tonight, that you guys should be addressing. And it sounds like, you know, you've obviously come up with the sport the right way, and you're with a great team now, you know, with Vision. It's important that we have fighters like you out there representing the sport. Look, I'm here to fight. I'm not about the bullshit. I'm not about the games and the drama. Let's put the gloves on. Let's see who's better that night. And I like that attitude. And I'm very blessed that you came on the show tonight to hang out with us. We're going to definitely be watching the Absolute Action MMA 35 coming up next weekend. And you sound mentally prepared, and it sounds like your camp's going the direction you want it to go. So you sound like a good camp. So I think you're going to be totally prepared, and I love it. I love your mentality about fighting, brother.
Appreciate you for having me, man. Appreciate you for letting me know to call in and things of that nature, and even mentioning my name.
Oh, hey, I asked them. I said, look, we're going to do a two-hour special, expose the world, you know, because we're listened to all over the world. We have offices on a bunch of countries around the world. And, you know, our thing is exposing guys like you to other fans, other promoters, other regions, other organizations, so that we can help get your name out there. And I, no lie, and Chuck, he could tell you right now because he's with us. I said, give me three names, you and two other, that's it. It wasn't teeter-totter, and let me guess about this guy. He gave me three names right away. It was like a no questions asked. You were one of them. And obviously, well, I now know why.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I see Chuck at a lot of different shows. Chuck never used to speak to me, man. He used to be with his team.
That's because he wanted to beat up my guy.
it just wasn't in God's plan for me and Robert to fight, man. So, you know, Chuck is a good dude, man. I never heard nothing bad about him. You know what I'm saying? Whenever I hear Chuck's name, I always hear good things. So, hopefully, we can keep it that way.
Yeah, definitely. Well, before we wrap up with you, this is going to be your time, man. Any shout-outs to family, sponsors, gyms, any social media information so fans can follow you, whatever you want, you take the time. It's yours.
You know, just shout-out to the whole team, man. Everybody a part of Vision MMA Dayton, Vision MMA Cincinnati, you know what I'm saying? Chuck, my manager, Joe. You can follow me on Instagram at Hurricane786. You can follow me on Twitter at Hurricane786. That's pretty much it, man. God bless everybody, man. Stay strong and keep working hard.
Before we wrap up with you, it's a traditional question we talk every fighter during fight week. After weigh-ins or after fight time, depending on how you are, what's the one meal you want to eat?
For me, this time it's probably gonna be a slice of strawberry cheesecake.
All right.
After the fight, after I weigh in, I still watch what I eat and things of that nature. So after I fight, I'm probably gonna eat, win or lose, I'm gonna eat a piece of strawberry cheesecake.
I love it. That's the way to go. Sweet tooth. I love it. And a good cake at that. You gotta love
Definitely.
It. Well, Muhammad, truly a pleasure. I hope you'll come on again down the road as you grow in this sport, and we can talk to you and keep watching you till you reach the pinnacle of your career, man.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me. I'll definitely call in whenever I get a chance.
Hey, you got it, brother. Everybody can watch him fighting On Saturday, he's going to be fighting at Absolute Action MMA 35 against Billy Poe. It's going to suck to be Billy that night, but so be it. I really thank you, Muhammad, and you have a good night with your family.
All right, you too. God bless.
Chuck, man, home run right off the bat. These other two fighters are going to have something to live up to. Muhammad puts the bar really high.
Oh, yeah. He's a very good guy, man. He's definitely he's got his eye on the prize for sure.
Oh, yeah. I love it because he has the right mentality. He's what we say. He's a fighter's fighter, the way he addresses it. You got coaches, let them take care of your game plan. I'm here to train and kick your ass, and I love that mentality. It's becoming less and less prevalent in this sport because you're getting more and more athletes who fight versus fighters who are athletic.
Definitely. Guys that just go in there and do the same thing over and over and over again, and they're not really – that's the thing, too, is a lot of coaches will disagree with me, but I'm going to go ahead and say it, that fighters need to cross-train, man. They need to go outside their gym and go to other gyms and beat up on other guys or get beat up by other guys just so they have different looks, you know. They got to have different looks. You get in there and you're fighting with the same guys every day, there is no – you know, there's no pushing yourself because all you do is you find out the other guy's weakness that you train with every day and you use that against them. So if you go outside the gym, spar with guys you've never sparred with before, you're going to push yourself and you're going to find out your own weaknesses and definitely find out what kind of fighter you are. So, yeah, I try to get the guys outside and try to get them to train with other guys outside the gym. So it's definitely a part of the game plan.
Well, since we're waiting for the next guest, let's talk about that because that's something Lopaki and me are very, very adamant about is being able to get out there and cross-train. And I agree. There's certain coaches out there who are going to say right now, you're an idiot. You don't ever cross-train. You know, I like your mentality about it, and your reasoning is 100% right. It's something that me and Lopaki talk about. You know, you can go and let's say you go over to your gym every day and you work with the same strikers and you're doing the same routine. And then you go to some other gym, and this guy's picking you apart on your 379 every time. And you're like, why? And he's like, well, look, your hips are here and your footwork is here. It's an easy, readable move. I know what you're about to produce. And that's because you're getting a different look. And that's important in development.
Right. Definitely. I feel the same way, man. It's like you'll find out when you're telegraphing things. You'll find out, you know, little hitches that you have. You know, you'll just find out a whole different part of your game when you're training with other people other than, you know, the guys that see you every day. You know, it's a whole different ball game when you're out there sparring and rolling with strangers. It's just like going into a fight. You may see video on this guy, but you've never been in the cage with him unless it's a rematch. But, you know, he's a complete stranger. So it's almost like a fight. You go in to another gym and you start sparring with this guy, it's the same situation as if you were in a fight with this guy. As you may know little things about him here and there, but you really don't know his tendencies until you get in there with him.
I'm
a firm believer in it.
And it's no disrespect to you or the other coach or your team or their team. It's about development. Look, some coaches might have a niche with footwork that maybe you don't seem to like dwell on because you think it's maybe not as important as another aspect of the footwork. So this coach is like, hey, why don't you try this with your foot? Now he merges the two together and he's able to intertwine them and his footwork is improved by leaps and bounds and he's cutting the corners and he's, you know, putting guys in the cage that normally that one step or that one, you know, movement of your foot might have left an opening, but now you've closed it. So it's no disrespect. It's development. It's important.
Definitely important to me, you know, and like I said, there's a lot of coaches that will totally disagree with me. They find it like disrespectful to go outside the gym, especially when you get in like your traditional like jiu-jitsu guys that like, and that's totally fine with me. I understand that because, you know, it's a traditional thing. They don't want to go outside the gym. It's disrespectful unless they're competing against that other team. But as far as like MMA is concerned, and not like just straight jiu-jitsu, like if you're just doing MMA, then all you're doing is making yourself better as a fighter going outside the gym. You're not hurting yourself. You're not hurting your gym. A lot of coaches don't like it because they're really territorial with their fighters. They think that they're going to go to this other gym, take a liking to it, and leave their gym. And so that's money out of their pocket. So then comes the business, you know, aspect of it where they're losing money because this guy has left their gym to go to another place. In a lot of situations, that's not true. They'll just go and they'll train with that other team and they'll come right back to you because, you know, that's where home is and that's where their brothers are and that's where their training partners are and the guys that they, you know, sweat and bleed with. So, yeah, I definitely, you know, encourage cross-training, but I can kind of see why people don't like it, but I'm definitely a firm believer in it.
But let's be honest, without saying names, okay, between me and you and obviously the millions of fans listening, but because I won't name drop, but I've seen this. I've seen coaches that have that same mentality. You don't cross-train, but then they bring in a specialist to be there for a week or a weekend to do seminars. But that's the same thing.
Right, but I like seminars. They're cool. I mean, it's neat to learn new stuff. But you're just bringing in one guy, you know, one guy that's going to show you different moves, different techniques. Whereas if you like cross training, you're going and you're, you know, sparring and wrestling with multiple opponents, you know, multiple guys. And it's, I don't know, you get a lot more looks. Seminars are good, but you're not, it's totally different, I believe.
Well, I think we've got our next caller. I'm going to just bring them on live. I don't know who it is yet. 513, who do we got?
Hey, it's Chris Curtis. What's up?
All right. Chris Curtis, the action man. Welcome to Madhouse Live. How are you doing tonight, guy?
I'm all right. Did I call on time or like, am I off?
No, you're perfect.
The wrong time. Thanks, Chuck.
Yeah, you... Hey, you've done perfect. For all the fans around the world listening tonight, tell them who you are, what your record is, and where you're fighting out of.
I'm Chris Curtis. I'm a 8-3 pro fighting out of Vision Mixed Martial Arts, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Now, you got a fight coming up soon?
Yeah, I was actually supposed to be fighting in a few days, but, you know, injury bug strikes again. So we're looking like that may be pushed back till November.
Ah! Well, for everybody out there, you know, you definitely had an impressive pro career so far. You've got, obviously, you know, I mentioned it, Racklagon MMA, folks, one of my favorite leagues out there going. But you've also fought for Spartan. You fought for NAAFF, you know, Extreme Cage Combat. I mean, you've got to fight for some good organizations, and you've taken on some tough guys. Question I always like to ask, what fight that you lost did you learn the most from?
Man, I'll have to say it was probably Force Pets. Losing my Force Pets fight was it was interesting for me, man, because I really thought I won it. But looking back at it, after watching the video, you can see where there a lot of mistakes were made, and I learned an amazing lesson about how many times you actually get hit in the body and still fight. I've never been hit that many body shots in a fight. Like, oh, man, it was ridiculous.
Now, you've got to have, honestly, as a fan, I would, and media, I would think you walk out of the cage with a decision loss to Forrest, and anybody out there doesn't know the meat cleaver, you're living under a rock. This guy's like 35, 40 fights into his pro career, and you're able to go to the distance with him and honestly feel like you won the fight. Win or lose, I mean, that's impressive. I mean, this guy's fought Jordan Mee, Marcus Davis. He has fought Daniel Roberts. I mean, Tawan Howard. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. He's been in there with some of the best, you know. So for you to go the distance with them is, to me, impressive, you know, very impressive.
Man, it's a double-edged sword, you have to know, because – I mean, I didn't get stopped. I didn't get hurt. I honestly felt I did a lot more damage than he did. Like, you know, after the fight, I walked out fine. Nothing really, like, nothing bad happened. It's just one of those things to where looking back, you know, mistakes were made. And it just sucks, man, because, like, you know, he's fought everybody, and, you know, he's known as one of the better boxers in MMA, and I stood toe-to-toe with him, and I was, you know, I thought I outboxed him, but, you know, judges are judges. But, I mean, it's nice to know that I got a good chin, because, I mean, he hits like a freaking sledgehammer, and he's just a tough dude who won't die. It's like 15 minutes, the guy's going to take your head off and, you know, try to pound your liver out of your back, it's a... kind of gratifying to know, like, well, at least it can go down.
Now, going through the fight, it wraps up. Have you since then had a chance to sit down and dissect the video yourself?
Yeah, my last fight was against Ron Kessler, and before that fight, I sat down with my boxing coach, Trent Bass, and we actually looked at a lot of the mistakes that were made with my boxing coach and my... And, like, it's pretty sad when a jiu-jitsu coach sees the mistakes you made, like, in a stand-up match. But, I mean, we looked into it. We looked over some stuff and saw some mistakes I was making still. And we worked on not making those mistakes. And my last fight, you know, I kind of plugged some of those holes and everything for a lot better. So definitely did a lot of studying and a lot of homework. But, I mean, the last fight kind of showed that we plugged a few holes that were pretty blatant in the four-step fight.
Now, doing some research on you, me and Lepaki, you know, we've been watching some of your fights and stuff, and I'm curious, you know, you're pretty cut up for your weight class. Is your cut pretty easy for you? Do you feel like you could drop down one more class? Are you happy with your cut right now?
I can hear Chuck snickering in the background. Like, he's trying to hide it. I can hear Chuck snickering like the... like, if anyone that knows me knows that, like, I walk around at, like, 200 pounds, maybe 205. So cutting for me is how the least fun I have, like, ever. I used to want to go to 155 pounds, but I think I'd die first, honestly. I can make my weight. For 6 weeks, I can make my weight, you know, pretty easy, but it's still a very big cut. I mean...
Okay.
You guys, at 170, man, I'm drawn out. I look like everyone's going to look sick and emaciated. So I think 170 is going to be my limit. It's not a fun time.
Okay, well, yeah, I didn't know your walking weight. It's impressive. If you're really walking the streets at 200, man, you definitely look yoked up, man. I'm not going to lie. Some of your fights, you look just massive. That's why I was like, man, maybe he can cut down a weight class. But I now that I'm knowing what your walking weight is, I understand why you're fighting where you are. You want to have, you know.
But I'm a short 170, man. I'm a very short 170. So that's kind of a pain in the ass. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Right? Now, with the injury bug hitting you, how much time are you going to have to take out of the gym?
I really don't know yet. Like, he kind of has, like, wavering opinions on it, so I'm going to take it day by day. And, I mean, as soon as I'm able to start just moving around, I'm going to. But, I mean, I'm not going to stay out. I can't stay out for, you know, 5-6 weeks. It's just not in my nature. But I went out and I played with some buddies today, like, did some light rolling and decided to stay off of it and see how it felt. But, I mean, it's still pretty painful, but I want to be back in the gym within a week, at least moving around within a week. Like, I don't want to sit around and get fat and, you know, be back to 200-some pounds. Like, I didn't work out for 3 days, and I'm moping around the house. I'm all depressed. My girlfriend's looking at me like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, I just need to work out. Like, I'm so sad right now. Like, I need endorphins. So I'm just trying to be back to at least mobile within a week.
You get a little angry when you have the withdrawals from the gym, huh?
He's like, I wish, like, whoever's listening could see my Facebook. He's like, yeah, he's been in the gym. I just get angry. Like, I start snapping at people. I'm all depressed. Like, I was moping around earlier. It's like, you're in a funk. So I got to roll, like, 3 rounds today, and, like, you know, before everything crapped out. But I feel great now. I'm happy. My life's a little bit better, so.
It's funny you say that. My middle son today took his first BJJ class, and I picked him up after school, and he was like, I'm tired, I don't want to do it yet, can we go next week? And I was like, let's just go down to CJT, get you into class today. Man, by the time we were done, he was just super pumped, happy. He's like, I'm ready for Wednesday's class. I was like, that's what I'm talking about. It's an addiction, man. You guys I'm starting to see it with my own kids. You guys become addicted to that gym life. I mean, I guess you guys call them gym rats, you know.
I'm definitely a gym rat, and it's true, man. You've got, especially if you want to be a fighter, man, you got to learn to just love that. You got to learn to love that everyday grind and just kind of look forward to it. And because, I mean, if you don't, you get burned out too fast. And, you know, when you fall out of love with that everyday grind, it really becomes a job. And contrary to popular belief, man, fighting is a really horrible job. It's terrible. If you let it become a job, man, it's the worst job. I'd rather be busting bricks than doing this. Like, you know, when you don't love it, it's just grueling and so much work, no reward. It's terrible. But when you love it, man, you start loving the workout, loving the endorphin rush, you're just feeling better, man. It's, you know, the days go fast. You leave the gym and think about being there the next day, thinking about what you want to do. So you definitely got to embrace the stuff.
Now, you know, with you possibly having to, you know, wait till November for a fight, you know, you've got a great record. I was talking with Chuck a little earlier. What's your thoughts about maybe international fighting, like for, you know, maybe somebody like Pro FC or KSW, M1 Global, maybe even EFC Africa? What would you think about taking that route, maybe stepping outside the U.S. market?
As long as the check clears, I don't care where I go.
Okay. I like that attitude. So with you saying that, Chuck, I'm going to ask you this as well, but we'll start with this amazing young man right here, you know, Chris Curtis, everybody, you guys. Make sure you're following him on Facebook. There's a tournament going on right now. Some good friends of mine in Bangkok, Dare MMA. There's $125,000 for each weight class in the tournament going on. Now, obviously, as the tournament progresses, you're getting paid, but in the finals, and I want your opinion, as a pro fighter, with you make it to the finals, and here's the deal. The $125,000 and the title to the winner, the loser gets nothing. What do you think about that?
I'm walking out with $125,000 in the title. Like, I'm not walking into any fight. I'm not walking into any fight like, okay, well, I could lose, but... When we walk into a fight, like, you know, if I win, it's great. If I lose, I try. You're in the wrong fucking sport, man. Like, it's that's true.
Yeah.
And the thing is, and I'll admit it, man, anyone that knows me knows I had that problem for a long time. I was like, you know, I want to win, but I'm going to try my best. But, and that's, you know, that's cool if you play, you know, if you play a sport, like you play soccer or you play football, but we're not playing a sport. Like, we're getting in there and we're, you know, we're grown men hitting each other. We don't play a sport. We fight. It's a really shitty attitude to have for fighting. Like, you have to go in there, like, you know. I go in there now, honestly, like, I have to win because, A, there's another grown man trying to hurt me, which is not okay with me ever. And, B, I got a kid and, like, a family, man. Like, this, you know, I can't go home with half a check. It's like going home with no check. So, at this point, with that mentality, I'm never going in there like, well, I'm going to try my best. Like, you should be playing hopscotch. Like, if that's how you should play hopscotch or tennis. Like, it's not the sport for you.
Now, this is exactly the right mentality. This is why they designed the tournament the way they did, because they want fighters like you where I make it to the finals, I'm taking that paycheck home. I'm not walking out without that title and that money. I'm not going home broke. And I think this encourages you as a fighter to finish the fight and not, you know, not go home empty-handed. I think it's an interesting...
It just depends, too, because you got to remember, man, like, also with that mentality, you also breed the George St. Pierre mentality where I just need to win, so I'm just going to kind of wait it out and do, you know, not take any risk. You get to lay in front of guys, and, like, I can wait 15 minutes, so it's kind of a double-edged sword there. But kind of at the same time, it's, you know, it's encouraging, be safe.
Now, Chuck, what do you think about that, having a tournament where the winner takes all, the loser gets nothing?
Now, when you say nothing, does that mean absolutely nothing?
For each individual round, they get paid. You know, you get a paycheck, you get a fight bonus. When you get to the finals, the loser will only have his plane ticket. That's it.
Right. What about, you obviously need a hotel room.
So, no, like, yeah. So, like, all your actual traveling expenses, all that's going to be taken into consideration. You just will not get a fight paycheck for...
Right, right.
You know,
I mean, if you're getting paid for each round that you go through, like if there's...
Is that a cumulative?
If you're going
by... You get paid at the end,
No, no, no. You get paid for each round as you advance, and then when you get to the finals, the two guys in the finals are fighting for $125,000 winner-take-all with the title.
I've already
well,
made money getting up here, so why not?
Well, what about the previous rounds? Does the loser get something in the previous rounds?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. If you're going to the championship, like at the end, and it's 125 or nothing, obviously you've been compensated for your work to get to that position. So, yeah, I'd totally be down with for something like that. 125 grand, shit. Let's do it.
Well, I will make sure that I, after tonight's show, I shoot you the contact info for the matchmaker. He's a good friend of ours. And see if you can get you guys, because they're still filling the tournament right now. You got till about February or March before the tournament will be completely full. And so you got time to get into the tournament. So they just did one event Saturday morning, and it was six fights stretched out over the eight weight classes. But there was obviously only five weight classes, you know, worth of fighters there for the first tournament round. But it's amazing, amazing, amazing company. But yeah, I mean, I was looking over, you know, Chris's record and some of the fights he's fought, and he's a perfect fit for the tournament, really. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
Right.
I think it's a perfect fit. Because the tournament's about up
and
coming.
And Chris has fought about every kind of fighter you can fight. He's fought your jiu-jitsu fighters. He's fought your stand-up guys. He's fought your wrestlers. I mean, he's fought every kind of fighter you can.
And you know, let's be honest. You've got a great selection of finishes. I mean, you know, anybody who's going to try to stand with you has to take into account that you're able to finish on your feet. You have power in your hand. But at the same time, you have the heart and the cardio to take somebody to the very end of the bell.
Well, the great thing is now I've actually been working really hard. I don't know if I said I'm improving and working hard. So I've made leaps and bounds looking like a jiu-jitsu coach, finally getting really serious about that. And, you know, the fight 15 minutes is all, you know, well and good, but if I can finish you earlier, that's great. So we've been working really hard on my jiu-jitsu game, which is, I mean, it's fun. I'm becoming a nightmare for people who used to have no problem with me. I'm becoming a nightmare for them. So if I can choke you or break a leg, man, that's even better. So it'd be awesome. But I would love to do that tournament, man. You know, stateside is not going so well. Bellator hates me, cough, cough.
Dude, well, obviously Bangkok, not a bad place to go to fight. I believe, and we talk about this a lot, fighters, especially at your stage with your talent level, you should get out there and travel internationally, get paid to go to Russia, get paid to go to Bangkok, get paid to go to Sun City, South Africa. Why not? You do what you do as a professional because you love the sport and you need to put money in your bank account. See, you might as well get paid to take Chuck with you over to Bangkok for a week.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, yeah.
First of all, I would never take Chuck to Bangkok because if we didn't Chuck went to Bangkok, can you imagine the legal issues that would arise from this?
We wouldn't show up for the fight.
Yeah, we come back, like, Chuck's been married to a, like, a girl boy, like, out of, like, a Thai prison. So this is, you know.
It'd be the hangover all over.
Yeah,
now,
he's not actually a responsible adult. Like, don't let him fool you.
If you guys get the chance to go over and fight, which I will definitely name drop for you, they have a tournament over there in the prison, a Thai fight tournament, and the winner gets released. It's really cool shit, man.
It's undisputed, too.
Yeah, it's undisputed.
Yes.
That's kind of scary, though, because, like, you know, you got the convicted murderer winning the tournament. Like, yeah, go free. Like, that's not really safe.
Yeah, I just watched the last event, which was like 2 weeks ago. I just watched the highlights from it. Man, there was some great fights, but there was one guy, like, goofy-looking, like, Gomer Pyle, dude, like, hillbilly, like, Asian version of hillbillies. And he walked in there, and this big yoked out dude just, like, cracked him in the mouth. And homeboy just all of a sudden unlit, like, a 10-hit combo with punches, knees, and elbows and won the fight. I was like, whoa, I would not be messing with him for his breakfast.
Is Thailand considered a third world country? Is like second world? What is that?
Bangkok is it's probably second because, you know, Phuket, Bangkok, you got a lot of huge destination resorts, not only for families, but for fighters.
That's even more terrifying. Like, you're a civilized country having a prison. How do you move there?
Hey, you know, it's funny, you know, more and more fighters are shooting over there to train because, I mean, $800, you can get an apartment, pay all your bills, and have $200-$300 left over, you know, and literally for the whole month. I know guys who are going over there to train, and what they do is they shoot down to Cambodia because Cambodia holds live MMA fights every Friday night on the local television there, and they get like $400 and $300 with the win, but they shoot over there, fight real quick, one, two times a month. You know, I got one buddy, he's fought 50 times in a year between Thai, kickboxing, and MMA. And he's all pro, every event pro. And now he's only making, you know, between $300 and $700, maybe $1,000 to fight. But you fight 50 times in a year, that's good money.
Well, this is my plug. Sponsor me so I can go to Thailand and live in a hut and train and fight on, like, underground Thai circuits.
Dude, you don't gotta live in a hut, dude. Puckett Top Team has a 3.5-acre facility, including fighter restaurant where you eat for free, hotels, like little hostels. Yeah, man, you can buy.
Dude, I'm cool with the hut. Cool with the hut.
Okay.
Totally cool.
You'd be living on the beach, getting up every morning, eating fresh coconut.
Dude, I would eat people if it came down to it. Like, just get me there.
Well, I promise you tonight, when we're all done with this show, I will make sure that Chuck Wells has all the contact info that he needs to get your guys' name into that tournament. Because I'll be honest, they brought over Joe Ray. Now, and if you guys know Joe Ray, you know, he went against a guy who was, I believe, 50-1 in Thai fights and like 16-2 in MMA. 3-round war, he finished them off in the third round to advance in the tournament. They brought over Mozeev Ramboon for the heavyweight.
Well, the best part is Joe Ray fought Nassam Burrell and lost to Nassam Burrell. I have a win over Nassam Burrell.
See? That's what I'm talking about. Next thing you know, you could be facing Joe Ray, you know, and you'd be like, dude, I've done it once. I can do it again.
Then what happens if he gets hit by the vision curse? What happens? I would beat Joe Ray, which I'm sure I would. And then he would get into the UFC 2 days later.
Chuck, when you send that information, you make sure that you pass that on, you know?
Oh, I will.
You know, because that will be intriguing. They will love that. And I'm telling you, he's a perfect fit. Chris, before we run out of time and jump to our last guest, this next couple minutes is all about you. Any shout-outs to sponsors, social media for fans around the world to follow you, anybody you want to thank, whatever you want to say, this is your time.
Shout out to sponsors. That's hilarious. No, it's just, same as always, man. Just a big thanks to my family, like my son, my girlfriend who puts up with my craziness and mood swings. Of course, Chuck, for putting up with my craziness and mood swings, much like a girlfriend. My teammates and my gym man, Vision Martial Arts, been there for a long time now. We're only getting better. Been through some hard stuff, but we're coming along. We're building ourselves back up. All my other coaches, like Aaron Thomas, Scott O'Brien, Tim Back, my boxing coach, Joey Patch, my wrestling coach. And also, lately I've been working out with a lot of my friends who are down at Reed Vision Martial Arts Academy. Thanks to those guys, too. They've been hosting for a little bit for extra training in, so thanks to those guys, too. But, just the same people who've always been there. Thanks a lot. You guys can find me on Twitter, TheActionMan513.
Boy, Chris, thank you so much for taking the time, man. Great guy, great interview. I'm definitely going to make sure we try to get your name in that DARE tournament.
Thanks a lot, guys. One more thing. Do me a favor, everyone listening. If you get on Twitter and Twitter bomb Bellator for not letting me fight, because they just put Ron Kessler in the tournament and I just beat Ron Kessler. So make sure they know that and tell them that sucks and I'm way more pretty than Ron Kessler.
Hey, Bellator, man. Hashtag Bellator, everybody.
Yeah, do that. Do that. Like, tell them I'm angry. Like, tell them it's not cool. And, I mean, we can pull the race card if we have to. Whatever you got to do, guys.
Hey, Chris, thank you so much, brother.
Thanks a lot, man. Take care.
Man, what a great cat that guy is, man. We're going to have him on again. I don't want to leave our last guest chilling too long, so let's bring on the man himself, Non-Stop Action Pack, Dominique Steele. How are you doing tonight, killer?
Hello? Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're live, bro.
Hello? What's up? What's up? What's up? How are we all doing?
Killer, man. Thank you for joining Madhouse Live. We're kicking back.
I'm glad. Thank you for having me.
Hey, this is all about Team Vision tonight, man. We're trying to get you guys some exposure for all that hard work you guys put in that you guys deserve. And, man, we got fans around the world listening tonight in every country possible. Why don't you tell them who you are, what your record is, and where you're fighting out of?
Well, my name is Non-Stop Action Pack Dom T. Steele. I basically can kill planets. That's how I feel about myself. I wake up in the morning. I basically craft superiority. I wipe myself with greatness.
Oh, you got to put that on a shirt. I will buy five of them. That is probably the best fighter intro I've ever heard on our show in 160 episodes. That's the best one, man. Oh,
I was basically sent to Earth to make the Earth stand still. Yeah, General Zod actually found the wrong guy. He was looking for me, not Clark Kent.
Now, you know, well, you got a fight coming up soon?
Yes, sir. I got to fight November 9th.
Where and when?
I'll be fighting it's either Kenosha or Nova Scotia. One's Canada, one's Wisconsin. I know one of them is Wisconsin. So, I'm fighting Zach, I'll not even say his name. It's Tally. I'm just going to call him Tally. So, I mean, I got him November 9th, King of the Cage. I think Nova Scotia, Wisconsin.
Okay. Yep.
Either way, I'm getting near Brett Favre before I leave that town. If I find Brett Favre, I'm on green.
There you go. That's a little better.
No, that's all right. He's okay.
You know,
he's highly mediocre.
Once again, you are definitely a candidate, man, for what's going on in other countries. I like the fact that you're willing to travel, hop up to Canada. You know, obviously, anybody who knows who you are, you know, you fought for, you know, the good guys. You fought for Ring of Combat, huge fan of, produced over 80 fighters at the UFC level. You fought for Bellator, NAAFS. You've gotten to fight for Strikeforce. It's time to start seeing you go overseas, man. It looks like tonight Chuck Wells will be emailing some fight bios out for you guys. But, you know, what's the deal? Do you want to fight overseas? Is that something that really interests you?
My goal before I die or am fucking sent away from this planet, I want to fight over in Japan.
Oh, yes. See, that's what I'm talking about, man.
Not even just to hit people in the head on the fucking ground. I want to take my brother to Japan just to see a bunch of this crazy fucking transforming bullshit.
Now, see, Pancras, one of the probably oldest organizations on the planet, they're up to like 252, 20-some-odd years they've been doing it. They're also have changed their rules and opened up to Western fighters and going three five-minute rounds versus two-minute rounds. You know, we're seeing that explosion in Asia now to bring more Americans over. So this is a perfect time for you. This is a perfect time for someone that like yourself that wants to – and I'm sorry.
It's not a perfect time. It's an action-packed time.
Action-packed time. For you to go over there.
You're welcome.
Thank you for correcting me. you're coming off a couple of wins, but you had a fight lined up. I'm real curious, whatever happened with Julio Galicia.
Oh, God damn it. Of course, we would have kicked me in the balls on me, but I'm basically showing up. Oh, well, you know, I kind of got into a little bit of a slump here. Long story short, I lost a fight. We're going to go with that one.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. You know, I was just always curious, you know. And by the way, I personally want to tell you that I think you would have beaten Uriah Hall even back then. I think you'd beat him today.
Thank you.
I think he's an overrated fighter that got publicized because of TV, which is sad because I honestly believe toe-to-toe, you finish him, round two, fight done.
Dude, my knees are fucking just got hard and fell in my dick just because that was just so awesome. Thank you for telling me that.
Well, you know, it's funny because he's had a lot of canceled fights in his career. I know everybody thinks he's this almighty savior of MMA, but he's had a lot of fights that he didn't show, you know, get to make happen for one reason or another, whether it was him, the opponent, whatever. And I feel honestly in my heart and as somebody in media that some of those fights, including yourself, are fights he really didn't want.
Yeah. Well, I'm an action-packed ape, so, I mean, who wants to fight that?
Well, you know, I like the fact that you blew it off, you went back, and you took on a tough opponent in Rogers, you know, and you showed up, and you showed up like a beast. You took it to a decision. Hey, it didn't go your way. You still stepped in there like a man and performed like an action-packed superstar.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. That fool knocked my tooth loose. It was awesome. I couldn't drink chocolate milk for about at least a couple weeks.
So, is he the guy, the hardest hitting guy you've ever faced?
No. The one after that, I think the one after that hit a little bit harder. He was more technical, I would say.
That was the Travis Clark fight, correct?
Unfortunately.
Okay. I wanted to make sure I had him right because I knew that Julio was right around that same time, and then he started on your run again versus Josh and Nate. Nate, right? Yeah. And, you know, turn things around.
Yeah, that's pretty much correct. It still hits a sore spot with me.
Well, out of all your losses, which one did you learn the most from?
I learned everything from my losses. But it's if I actually listened to what I learned. And I mean, I felt like I did on that last one. Just a little bit, though. My hands are still down. Not as bad.
Well, that's, you know, hey, look, it's honest. That's all, you know, that's all we can ask for. You know, now, let's talk a little bit about, because you're anybody who follows you, social media.
What can I say losing to Travis Clark? Every Nazi has his day. Just saying.
This is exactly what I was going about.
I like American History X just as much as the next guy. It's a good movie.
You have a great personality. I mean, dude, you're honestly an easy fighter to sell, an easy guest to have on a show like this. What do you do outside of MMA? What do you do for fun, brother?
What I do for fun? Things I like to, you know, go out, find all the dead cats I can find, go home, put them in a circle. For about a good 30 minutes, I'm the leader for a little bit. I like to hang out with my dude Ethan Whoops McGee, or the boxer, or whatever the hell he's going by nowadays. I keep saying, I gotta stop doing that. You ever go to Subway and try to order something without saying, it is impossible. We did that the other day. Didn't work out. Other than that, I basically write in my free time. I run. And I like to give little kids a hard time. That's about it.
One thing fans out there would never expect to see you doing.
Never expect to see me doing?
Yes.
I'm Dom T. Steele. Expect the unexpected.
Yes. Okay, after fights or after weigh-ins, depending on how you address your dietary issues on fight week, what's the one thing you like to eat?
Chocolate milk. I like my chocolate milk cold, and I like to drink it. I love it. And when it's not cold, if I get it warm, I'm going to be very, very upset.
Now, are you talking like
ice chip? I don't care about food that much.
You talking about ice chip?
Not ice chip.
Okay. Okay, I want to know how cold.
I do like my chocolate milk under glass. I can do that one.
Okay. What's your favorite brand?
It takes me back to a simpler time before this recession. I blame Obama. Can I say that on the radio?
Yes, you can. Where is Lepaki when I need my co-host? You guys, right now, I'm going to need you on a plane flying to buy you a beer, okay? Oh, man. You're going to have to come on. We have another show on Friday night. It's called The Road Show. It's the X-rated view version of The View, but MMA style. You're going to have to come on that show one of these Friday nights. Because we need to do
deal.
Dude, yeah, you're perfect candidate for that show because it's a no-holds-barred MMA show. Fighters calling fighters out, promoters calling fighters out. It's a great show.
I got two questions. Do I got to wear a suit? And can I bring Jeremy Chitwood?
You don't got to wear anything, and yes, you can bring whoever you want.
Sweet.
Yeah, that's
I'm glad I can be naked. I'm okay with that one, too. It's either a suit or nothing.
Yeah, I would be willing to bet most of the people on that show are probably sitting in their studio or house naked as well. So you can join the festival.
Terrific. I'm hyped.
So you're at Team Vision. How do you like it? How do you see everything progressing?
That gym has jumped since I basically came with the gym when they basically moved next door from this little garage place over to a kind of a bigger facility. They said, hey, we're going to open up the door and we're going to get this black guy. This is what Ralph Bradford basically said. Okay, I was with Team Bradford before I joined Team Vision, and I've loved the journey ever since. I love Jason Lane. That is my dude. He has brought that gym from an organization to a little bit more organization.
What's your favorite aspect of the sport? Do you like striking the most?
Nah, I like a little cheap shot.
You like that dirty boxing against the cage, huh?
Absolutely. That is my personal favorite part of the sport. I would say that's my expertise.
So how much time...
Non-stop action cheap shot.
How much time do you get to dirty up with Thai fighting training? Because you obviously clinch work with the dirty knees and elbows from the inside. I've even seen good tee kicks from the clinch happen, you know, with Thai fighting. Do you get to play around in Thai fighting a lot?
When I'm not at work, yes, I actually do. I work with Scott O'Brien a little bit. And I work with also Jason when he's free.
So, you know, we're sitting here, you know, we're trying to get the fans to know all you guys, you know, and expose you guys to some organizations and promoters around the world. Because, you know, Chuck, he's somebody we've had on the show before. He's somebody we respect a lot. And we really want to help get your name out there. But I haven't had a chance to ask this to anybody else, including Chuck. So I want to ask you, because I like your attitude, and I think you're going to give me the straightest answer with no bullshit tied to it. Not saying you would, Chuck, but out of all the fighters in your gym, amateur-wise, name one guy we'll see in 2 years that's making waves.
If he stops fucking up, Steve Singleton. He's not an amateur.
Okay.
Also, Ethan McGee.
Good. That's what I like to hear. Guys I can go start researching and following to see the future. You know?
Steve Singleton, he is a professional at this level, but he's just has a couple little flings that needs to be... That dude's fucking lightning. I hate sparring with him. I'm actually scared of him. Sometimes I think I peed one time when he hit me.
Oh, shit. Oh, that's a good one. I like that. Oh. So, King of the Cage coming up. Do you know much about your opponent? Do you care much?
I know he's a purple belt. I know he's basically, you can't even say a brawler. He's kind of that basic, typical, let's say bullshit, but I mean, this is still Radio P. Just more forward. Not a lot of hand work. I'm going to keep this on my feet, and I'm going to do what apes do best. That's rise and take over this fucking planet.
I love it. I love your attitude, man. You're so easy to sell. I mean, I'm telling you right now, like, I'm thinking of 5-6 promoters that I could pass names to Chuck, to start trying to get you fights for, because, man, I would love to see you fight in a couple organizations. I think you would be such a sellable product overseas. I really do. You know, your attitude.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Obviously your ability sells it, but your personality is just a reward. And we need more fighters that address the sport with your kind of mentality and attitude of, let's have fun, let's just fight, and fuck all the bullshit.
Word.
Throughout your whole career, obviously, you've got to fight some guys who have gone on, even though they probably shouldn't have, or guys who have made some waves that, you've gotten to fight or maybe wanted to fight. My question is, in your whole career, have you come across somebody that you never got to fight that you wanted to?
I mean, I can't really say I'd fight anybody. I mean, there's some people I wouldn't. I wouldn't fight Steve Singleton. I'm saying that much. I mean, I think he'll actually fuck me up. I don't really know on that one. I don't think I can answer that.
That's fair.
That's kind of a toughie.
Chuck, I got to ask you.
I'm just gonna roll up my knees. I'm gonna load up my hands, and I'm gonna give a nice prayer to the gods out there, and then I'm just going to go in there and fight you.
Chuck, is he this goofy in the gym?
Yes. Worse.
Worse? Oh, that's great.
That's only because I'm naked most of the time.
He comes out in like a singlet. He's like, who's ready to wrestle?
No, but when it comes down to training and being serious, he's business. He's definitely business. Not always like this.
Now, how nice is it, though, to have a fighter like this that you're working with and helping grow and watch his pro career grow?
Oh, it's awesome. You know, like you said, if everybody had his mentality, and...
This world will fucking be psychotic. It will burn to the ground.
His outlook.
It's like Grand Theft Auto fucking just in real life. Have you guys played that new Grand Theft Auto? Man, I got lost in that stuff.
No, actually, I hate to tell you this, but the last game I played was Super Mario on the NES original, man. I have not.
Oh, man, I'm not judging you.
Thank you. My kids have it, all those games and systems, but I spent all my money on my studio, honestly, and it sounds sad to say, but I'm a farmer for fun. I like to garden. It's kind of weird. But
Farmers like the I think Farmers like the original video game, in my opinion.
Oh, man, are you quick-witted, brother? I'm serious, man. You've got to come hang out on a Rogue show one of these Friday nights, man.
I'm down.
Well, we've got a few minutes before we wrap up with you. This is your time, man. Whatever you want to get out, man, social media, sponsor shout-outs, people to thank. If you just want to sit there and rap a song, whatever you want, it's your time, brother.
I'd like to give a shout-out to Mr. Chuck Wells, Lane. Dezenis, I can't really say his last name because he's not from this country. Ethan McGee, Jeremy Chitwood. Team Vision, Baytown, Thickest Thieves. By the way, Thickest Thieves, you should go ahead and go get your Action Packed Ace Dom T Still T-shirt on sale now. Get them while it's hot. Get them while it's Action Packed, too. I think I said Baytown. The Baytown boys, I have to give a shout-out to Albie. Albie's my dude. He knows I love him. O.J. Simpson, he's somewhere around here. Chipotle. But mostly, I like to give a shout-out to my gym.
Hey, by the way,
and Wardane Strauss. Scalp this motherfucker's head. No offense, Back Karen. I like you. I like your beard. You seem like an awesome fighter. But Dan Strauss is so Dan Strauss. War Strauss.
Hey, by the way, your Thick as Thieves fight shirt, man, is ridiculously cool. Ridiculously cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, folks,
I'd like
you
to thank Jeremiah for that one.
Go ahead, finish.
I'd like to thank Jeremiah and the Thick as Thieves crew for making the shirt. I really appreciate everything they've done for me. I appreciate everything anyone's done for me. They know I've been through a lot over these past couple years. Oh, 3 years. I don't fucking know. It feels like 5 or 6. It feels like 5 or 6, but it also feels like everything just happened yesterday. So, love everyone. I love the Apes. I love Slaughterhouse Smith. I love my mom. I also love chocolate milk. I can take that stuff forever. You know, when Philadelphia comes in half gallons.
Well, I tell you what, we definitely, for everyone listening tonight, we've done it. We've helped them before in the past, other fighters. Somebody out there, contact the chocolate milk company, whether it's Eberhardt Dairy, whether it's Nestle Quick. I'm going to tell you guys an inside secret right now that I shouldn't be telling you guys. And this is for you, Dom. Nestle Quick is coming out with a chocolate recovery energy drink for fighters, and they are starting to sponsor MMA fighters because I know the first one they've already signed. I'm going to have to see what I can do about getting Chuck in contact with them for you. I'm not supposed to actually say anything yet because they haven't announced it, but the fighter called me and told me the whole deal, and he got 6 months worth of chocolate milk energy drink.
6 months?
6 months worth.
That'll put me in the hospital.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I'm going to take the chocolate milk soon.
We're going to see what we can do about getting you hooked up with that deal. Cause you would be the perfect candidate to be sponsored.
Word. One of my goals in life was to get Yoohoo in 40s. I actually wrote them. I never got anything back.
Hey, we had a girl on our show who had poopcinders.com as one of her all-time fucking sponsors. And if you've never checked them out, you can mail anonymously a pound of elephant shit, monkey shit, goat shit, or horse shit to people you don't like.
That's awesome.
Dude, yeah, it is so cool. It's one of the coolest sponsors
I'm
somebody's
out
ever
there.
Done. Well, Dom, I mean, for real, like, we're going to have you on again, man. And I'm serious. I'm going to see what I can do about getting everybody in contact with you and Chuck about that sponsorship, because I truly believe that you would be a perfect candidate after talking to you tonight. And, I mean, it would just be cool as shit to see you whooping ass with a Nestle Quick logo on you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, and I'm definitely going to hit you up about the Rogue Show in the next few days and see when we can get you on that one as well.
I'm down. I'm down like Monica Lewinsky after fucking Clinton.
This is what I'm talking about, man. You go enjoy the rest of your night. Kick back. Relax. I'm going to wrap up with Chuck Wells in a couple of minutes, folks, and then we're going to call it a show.
All right. Hell yeah. Good talking to you guys. Stay black. Keep fighting whitey, you know, usual.
I will, brother. Thank you so much.
All right. You guys stay action-packed. Keep it nonstop.
For life. Chuck, man, I can't thank you enough. You're talking about 3 amazing fighters as guests tonight. They represent your company so well. I mean, if I was a coach and a gym owner, I would be honored to have any one of these 3 guys fighting under my banner. Wow. I mean, great guys with legitimate careers in front of them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're great guys. I mean, just talking to them, you see the spectrum of people that, you know, that train at the gym. You got, you know, Dom, he's got the, you know, he's positive. He likes to cut up, you know. Chris, he's pretty much business, you know, and Muhammad, he's definitely all business. He's got his eye on the prize, and nobody's going to take
him. Muhammad's always hashtagging stuff. I'm just saying, I have to make fun of some of his hashtags. It's like, dude, you have a paragraph long of fucking hashtags. What are you doing? He can hashtag a bag if he wanted to. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, you see what, you know, we have a vision, and you have a spectrum, a wide spectrum of different people that you deal with, and we all work well together to make each other better fighters and better individuals in life. So, yeah, it's a good group of guys. I'm glad I came over and joined the team.
Hey, I am too, because we wouldn't have had tonight's show without that. I'm glad that, you know, it sucks, and we're not going to ever wait another year to have you back on, brother. We can't. Not with these kind of fighters, with these attitudes and these records and these futures in front of them. I mean, this is what it's all about. These three gentlemen is what I get up every day and look for when I'm, you know, reporting on the sport. I want guys like this out there. These guys will not only sell it to the fans, but sell it to legitimate fight fans. People who know the sport, know the techniques, because they perform at top level, you know, and they're able to bring a personality to where I feel like, honestly, if I didn't know Dom, I could walk up to him after an event and be like, hey, guy, impressive fight. Can I get an autograph? And he would be like, hell yeah, here you go. You know, you don't, it's sad because some fighters aren't that way. You don't feel like you can approach them. And all your fighters feel like they're approachable. And I like that.
Yeah, I saw one of the coolest things after Dom's fight against Travis Clark. Of course, he lost that fight, and he was back in the locker room and throwing chairs and pissed off that he lost the fight. And then this he was probably like 6 or 7 years old, come up to him asking for his autograph. And right then, like after throwing chairs and everything, his attitude changed, you know, and he continued to, like, sign this autograph for this kid, and then he had the kid autograph his shirt. You know, it was really cool to see. I mean,
oh, that's cool as shit.
Especially after taking a loss like that and then be able to, you know, turn his attitude around, like, right after a loss like that, and, you know, and to interact with, you know, a kid like that. It was really, you know, sounds stupid, but it was really touching. You know, I was like, you know, That's really cool that somebody can do something like that, even as a fighter.
I ate so much Taco Bell that night, too. Me and Ethan just loaded up on tacos, man. Such a depressing day. Sad for the kids. I love that. Those kids were awesome.
Okay, you loaded up on Taco Bell. What do you order from Taco Bell? What's your niche?
He just went out. He already knew I was upset, so he just got a bunch of tacos and came back.
That's so great. Like, dude, I love the fact that you're so goofy and honest. I mean, it makes my job super fucking easy, let me tell you, when we have guys like you on, man. I mean, you know, I get guys who I'm like, so you just won a title, man. How do you feel? He goes, good. And then it's all quiet. I'm like, well, you know, it was a hard round fought war. You broke your right hand. You had your left knee hyperextended, but you still fought four more rounds and won the title. I mean, aren't you happy? Yeah. I'm like, oh, God, man. Come on. I don't have to worry about
the monotoneness. You got to love monotone fighters.
No.
They have no mode, but they have no other mode but boring. It's like Ben Askren. Ooh.
We call him the couch on this show. Take a seat, and you can watch some real fighters fight after he's done.
Oh, thank you for that.
That's what we call him, dude. Dude, ever since we first saw him, look, he fought my good friend Carl Amasu, and he won. He beat Carl. But all he did was dry hump him for 25 minutes and then check his oil, and that was it. You know, I was like, come on, man.
Yeah, I'm a wrestler, so I may dry hump you, but I'm going to at least punch you in the face at one point.
Okay, so let me ask you
this. I tried to go over it a couple of times, and I even know I did it.
Okay, I made this suggestion a few weeks ago on Facebook to fans. I said, I think the UFC should offer him the winner of the GSP Hendricks fight And here's the deal. One fight.
Roy Hendricks.
Yes. One fight. You beat whoever the winner is. You get the title. You get a five-fight contract. Everything's good. You know, you get $50,000 for your first fight. At, you know, after that point, you know, fine, whatever, $60,000, $200,000, I don't care. But if you lose, you walk away forever from the UFC and you get $1,000. Do you think Ben Askren has the balls to take an offer like that?
No, God, no.
No way in hell. No way in hell. No. No way in hell.
I agree. I don't, you know, he talks shit, so there's your opportunity. Put it on the table like that,
right.
Dupa. Tell him.
Hey, he's a curly-headed fuck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just saying. Change my language. I've been cussing like crazy.
Oh, that's why we're on the internet radio, so there's no worse.
Okay, sweet deal. We're all friends then.
Yes. Well, then, guys, we got just a few seconds left. Chuck, this is your time. Whatever you want to give in the way of shout-outs, information, gym location, hours, anybody you want to thank, sponsors, whatever, you go for it, brother.
First of all, I'd like to thank my wife, my beautiful wife, that's sitting here patiently while I'm, you know, on the phone with you guys when I'm supposed to be doing kitchen remodeling, and obviously all the fighters that I represent. They're all great guys and very easy to work with. Sometimes they're a pain, especially when they're cutting weight. Vision MMA for giving me the chance to come over and, you know, and work with them and work with their guys. I'd like to thank, you know, definitely you guys for having us on, you know, getting us out there. And, you know, there's a couple other guys out there, you know, I'm sorry if I'm missing your guys' name, but there's a lot of people involved and it's hard to remember everybody all the time. But, yeah. Our local media guys over here, I'm sure you know them, Bluegrass MMA, good group
big
of guys.
Big fan.
Yeah, they definitely help us out a lot around here locally and you know, a little bit further out of the tri-state area. All the promoters out there that give us a chance to fight for them, man, to prove that we are the best around and will continue to be the best.
See, I like that. I mean, you know, and I got to tell you that, you know, I want to thank your wife for letting you come and hang out with us when you actually had other stuff to do. So that's really cool of you, you know, to get that done like that. You know how it is. I'm on my third wife, so it took me a while to learn.
Me too.
You know, hey, for real, Chuck, my door's open. I've already sent you the contact information. I think you should get Dom's name in the $125,000 tournament as well.
Definitely. We'll definitely work on that.
Hey, could you imagine Dom in Bangkok? Oh, my God. I'm going.
No,
if he gets in that tournament, I'm going with him.
No. Dom would wake up with about 5 transvestite hookers and 10 gallons of chocolate milk.
That only happened once. That only happened once, Chuck.
Hey, guys, by the way, it's not transvestite. You can actually get your driver's license to say lady boy. That's what we call them there.
Lady men. Lady boys.
Yes. That's what they call on your driver's
nice.
License. You can get male, female, or lady boy on your driver's license.
Wow. That's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
Thank you, Obama.
Only in Bangkok.
Thank you, Obama. Oh, guys, well, let's wrap it up. You gentlemen, you guys, for real, Chuck, my door is open. Anything I can do, anything with the tournament that you need help with, let me help you get the guys in the tournament the best I can. And definitely the sponsorship. Let me make some calls on that on your behalf and see what I can do. You got a great group of fighters, a truly great group of fighters.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. You got a great show, and I love being on here. Like I said, I'm definitely going to be on more often.
Yes. We're not going to let a year go by again. There's no way.
No. It's been too long. Way
yes,
too long.
Yes, sir. Well, Chuck,
I might let a year go by. I might be in prison at one point. But, I mean, that's just me.
You make sure you give a shout-out to OJ again.
OJ, I'm coming to see you, bro.
Gentlemen, thank you so much. so much for everything. I'm going to wrap it up with a great ad from our kick-ass sponsor, Clinch Cut the Mouth Guard. And I will see you guys on the other side. So you know, replay will be up in about 20 minutes for any of your fans that want to hear it.
Oh, awesome. I'd also thank Rob Bolza.
anyone? Sorry.
Yeah. I'd like to thank Rob Bolza and the Rosti crew and Empire. No, I'm not talking to them. And I'd like to thank Team Vision and Jason Lane again. And Chuck Wells for everything they have done for me. I love you guys.
Hey, guys, I end the show the same way. Eagle.
All on the jury. Please report to the main gate. We are about to unleash the psycho.
Hey, listen up. If you're in contact sports, the American Dental Association recommends that mouth guards be worn during all heavy contact sports. So do what MMA Meltdown does and contact the best in the biz, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards fabricates custom mouth guards for all professional and amateur sports, mixed martial arts, boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, basketball, football, lacrosse, hockey, as well as many other sports. These mouth guards are for any sport where any form of contact may occur. Get your custom mouth guard today at GetClinch.com. Again, that's GetClinch.com for all of your mouth guard needs.